Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. President Donald Trump visited the World Economic Forum this week and gave a barnstormer of an address. He revealed he is dropping his threat to impose tariffs on several European countries, said there's a framework for a deal on Greenland that includes NATO. The president ruled out using force to take Greenland during his time at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney gave one of the most caustic speeches, calling out great powers for weaponizing their economic might. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way, Trump said in his speech the following day. But infighting between Trump and California Governor Gavin Newsom took plenty of headlines. Here's more.
The latest kerfuffle is that he claims the Trump administration got him uninvited to a planned fireside chat. The Trump administration has not denied involvement. As KCBS reporter Holly Kwan tells us, the question remains, what kind of political mileage is the governor getting with this international attention?
Gavin Newsom has been a headline maker in Davos, positioning himself as the most vocal Trump critic.
Destruction is not strength. The Trump administration is weakness masquerading as strength.
The president, in his speech before the forum, was more congenial.
Gavin's a good guy.
Why spend the time sparring on the international stage? Newsom has been a forum attendee for decades. Larry Gersten is a political science professor emeritus at San Jose State.
The crafty politician is one who moves the needle slowly but surely. And the earlier you get that start, the better. So all this is sort of free time and in a sense, free money for Newsom.
Who is believed to be a potential presidential candidate, Gersten says Davos is a great place to meet people with deep pockets in case you need that kind of support later on.
For more on this, we're joined live here in the studio by our KCBS insider Phil Mateer and former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. Donald Trump cancel Gavin Newsom?
Of course he did. He cannot have Gavin Newsom continuously annoying him all the things that he's trying to do. And Newsom was very effective at achieving that goal. I don't think Newsom would have gotten coverage equal without Trump's objection.
Oh, yeah. And his team was very, very up on this. I mean, even before he got to Davos, they put out releases that he was going to slam Trump. The minute that he got disinvited from the midnight show, they had the cameras ready to roll on that. I mean, I think there'll be a commercial on that, a fundraising pitch out on it within a week. I mean, they live for Donald Trump.
They have to, because there's nobody else, Phil, at the moment, the equal to him, i.e. for purposes of enhancing Mr. Newsom's quest for the presidency.
But my question to you is, you often say that people can overexpose themselves, that they can be seen too much too soon. Is Gavin Newsom, at every turn, he's being in the news, is he risking overexposing himself and becoming old before it's
even starts? No. He has no competition whatsoever. He is becoming, literally, the spokesperson for the Democratic Party nationally. There isn't any other person. And, you know, I watch those shows over and over trying to get some ideas for my future. But I do not see anybody matching
Why
Newsom.
Why not? Why isn't anybody matching it?
Because we Democrats are kind of cool. We kind of want to lay back and do it on the old calendar schedule. Newsom is making a total new calendar schedule. And he's kind of always been that way.
But did he go too far, the governor, when he criticized world leaders? I mean, he said he brought knee pads for everybody, just capitulating to Trump.
You know
Trump?
They're available on his website.
Oh, are they? Gavin in 28 knee pads? I mean, is that going a little too far?
No. Newsom is doing what Newsom needs to do to enhance the potential for 28.
Right now we have J. Peter Zane back with us, editor at Real Clear Investigations. I might ask him a few questions about that as well. But Peter, welcome back. It's been a little bit. I hope all is well.
Oh, it's great. Thanks so much for having me. I think with this snowpocalypse coming, we're all Greenland now.
I know, right? And I read this meme at the beginning of the show, and I'll tell you this. I love this because it's so accurate. You ready for the forecast? This is for you and for me. Snow possible anywhere from 0 to 144 inches, maybe. Could start at noon, 3, 7, 9, or 10 o'clock. o'clock. Might be today, maybe not, possibly none. Doesn't that sum it up?
Pretty much. And this is with global warming. Imagine how cold it would be.
Yeah,
what's weird
is that we used to get real winters here in St. Louis where we'd have several snowfalls, and that has, changed over the decades.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get whacked this weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be cold. Since we're on the topic of cold, let me ask your opinion of Greenland and everything going on there, because it does seem like even the people running Greenland who were blasting Trump and trying to act like we were going to invade Greenland militarily, which was just utterly ridiculous. Now he's even turned around and said, you know what? This might be a pretty good deal for everyone.
I think Trump gets tremendous results. And the way he goes about it is so alienating to so many people that it really undermines him in so many ways. And, but if that's, we've talked about this, if this is just who he is, how he has to be, I will take the excesses for the results. But I just wish, and again, I know we might talk about Minneapolis, if he could just go about things in a slightly more tamped down way, he would have completely vanquished the loony left, because they are so bad. And the only thing that's keeping them afloat is being able to point to him and his excesses.
You're so right. Yes, Peter. And, that's what's so frustrating to me. And let's segue into Minnesota, because I am of the very strong opinion right now that this is not working out so well for the administration. Now, J.D. Vance was there in Minneapolis this afternoon. I haven't heard the remarks because I was busy doing something. We may roll back some of the audio. So I'd be very curious to see how he frames some of this. But, you're in a great situation when you're deporting illegals that are criminals and felons. I don't think anyone has any problem with that except for the true radical left. But you do have enough reports. And look, I'm suspicious of the media. I don't know the veracity and the truth. But there's enough out there to indicate to the independent voters of America that they don't like what's going down right now. And a year ago, they supported this immigration policy. So to your point, this makes me nervous because of the midterms. I'd like to kick them all out. I don't really care. But I don't think that people who are American citizens should be dragged out and pulled over and asked for papers. That is, I'm not down with that.
I agree 100%. I also, and I think Trump made this point, in any human activity, there is an error rate. So
yes,
if you are indiscriminately pulling people over and, even like 5 or 10% of the people are U.S. citizens, that's a huge problem. If there have been 20 people, U.S. citizens, pulled over and some of them detained, and God knows I wouldn't want to be one of those people and I would be howling, but, amidst tens of thousands of others, that's going to happen. And I agree with you, the reporting is so dishonest that it's hard to get a handle on it. So I don't know if this is just the normal error rate, which is bound to happen and is lamentable, or if it's, they really are not really clear about what they're doing.
It's hard to tell. It really is. And that's where the dishonesty on the part of the media is at play. Because if I'm this administration, Tom Homan or J.D. Vance, and there's these claims because this one dude gets dragged out of his house and he's got his jammies on and stuff and he's an American citizen, wasn't a good look, but they were looking for people who were bad guys in the house. So maybe that's your error. Like you said, you're going to have some of those. But I think that they need to get in front of this stuff and say, okay, that happened, but this is who we were looking for. And these are the types of people that we're looking for. Now, you still might not get a fair shake, right? But I think they need to do a better job of that.
I 100% agree with you. And I got to say, I love Carolyn Leavitt, the press secretary, and the way she handles those press conferences. But his communication strategy, and again, maybe they just can't contain him, but it is a disaster. And it's a disaster in part because he is doing so much that you can't keep on top of anything.
It's impossible.
The Maduro capture was a huge victory. And literally 2 days later, it's Greenland. So nobody has time to savor the accomplishment of removing this monster from that country before it's just something else. Or to your point about ICE in Minneapolis and elsewhere, where are the stories about who these agents are? Where are the stories about they're wearing masks because they're being doxxed?
Right.
You know, where's the stories if they're saying 60% of the people have criminal records? Where are the stories on who these people are, you know, that they're actually
removing? Well, and that's the problem. You're not going to have the regular legacy media incentivized to find those types of stories because they are going to look out for the other agenda. But see, that's when it becomes, to me, you know, perception is reality, and when you start to do this polling and you see the polling slipping away on immigration, it shouldn't be that confusing. So we'll see if J.D. Vance maybe straighten them out a little bit here this afternoon. Peter Zane, always great to have you on. I hope all is well. We'll get you back soon.
There have been a lot of protests in Minneapolis and other cities where ICE is active. So how far should protesters be allowed to go? Here's more with Annie Fry.
And I do want to correct something that was said in the beginning. We did not rush into that church. We actually went and sat down and participated in the service. And after the pastor prayed, that is when I stood up and asked him a question in response to his prayer. And then he responded to me. And then I proceeded to ask him about Pastor David Easterwood and how is it possible for him to serve as both a pastor and the director of ICE from Minnesota. And instead of responding to me, as soon as I said the name David Easterwood, the pastor says, shame, shame. And that is when I led us in chants, justice for Renee Good and hands up, don't shoot. So I want to clarify that. We didn't rush in. We didn't bust in. We were a part of the service until I got up and posed that question to the pastor.
So there you have Nakima Levy Armstrong, who has received a subpoena for actions taking place in Minnesota, and that's a little bit of a revisionist history, I would say. Listening to her explain how that whole thing went down, I don't know about that. Let's ask our friend Hans von Spakovsky. There's a lot of legal questions that I have about this. Advancing America, American Freedom Senior Legal Fellow and former FEC Commissioner, former DOJ lawyer. Hans, it's a pleasure to have you back. It's been a wild week in Minnesota.
Well, it was, and I'm sorry, but the videos that were taken of what happened to the church do not match what this woman says she was doing. And you know, two people have already been arrested by the FBI. They're apparently going to get criminally charged under the FACE Act. FACE Act is the Freedom of Access to Clinics Act, passed in 1994. And it was primarily passed to prevent threats, force, obstruction of abortion clinics, but it also covers churches and synagogues. And if you engage in any kind of threats, intimidation, or you physically interfere with people practicing their religion, particularly in a church, if you've engaged in a criminal violation of the law, that you, the First Amendment does not give you a right to engage in those kind of physical assaults or physical obstruction, for example, of church services.
Yeah, I think it was when I was learning about the FACE Act, kept hearing that over and over and over again. Is it correct that the FACE Act was created for abortion clinics and the way to get it passed was they're like, OK, fine, we'll do this, but you got to throw in the church area as well?
No, that's exactly right. And you will recall that during the Biden administration, particularly after the Supreme Court issued its big decision on abortion, all these churches started getting vandalized, protesters interfering with them. And what did the Biden administration do about that? They did nothing. They did not enforce the FACE Act against the people engaging that kind of behavior. Fortunately, here, it looks like the Justice Department is going to do something about this.
Don Lemon was part of this protest, and he was suggesting that he was there as a journalist to chronicle the events as they unfolded. Does Don Lemon have any legal troubles right now?
No, I think he has legal trouble. Anyone who participated in, organized, helped to do this, to interfere in these church services, they all have potential liability under the FACE Act. And by the way, not only can the Justice Department criminally prosecute you, but what's interesting is there's also a civil remedy. So the people who were injured, the people who had their church service interfered with, the people who were intimidated or threatened, they can actually sue these perpetrators who did this also and potentially recover civil damages against them.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned for that, certainly. I want to shift a little bit away from Minneapolis and Minnesota to the Supreme Court. I know that everybody's waiting for that tariff court case to come down. We heard arguments in the last week or so on whether or not men should be able to play in women's sports. What are you watching right now with the Supreme Court? What do people need to not take their eye off the ball when it comes to that third branch of government?
Well, I'll tell you, they've had one important case after another. Yeah, last week they had the arguments about the laws in more than two dozen states that ban biological males from participating in women's sports. But look, this week they had a Second Amendment case, a case arising out of Hawaii. Very important case. But what was most interesting to me about it, frankly, was shocking and shameful what Hawaii was doing to try to justify their law. Basically, they passed a law saying, even if you have a concealed carry permit, so you've been licensed to carry a gun, you cannot go into any private property that's open to the public, like a mall, a gas station, unless the owner has given you explicit permission to carry a gun. So if you pull your car into a gas station and there's no sign there specifically telling you you can have your concealed carry gun there, you're a criminal under Hawaii law. I mean, it's an extreme law that clearly to me violates the Second Amendment. Do you know what Hawaii was doing to justify this law? They were saying, well, historically, this is fine because of these laws passed in the Reconstruction South.
Okay.
After
in
the
Hawaii.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the laws known as the Black Codes. These were the first gun control laws passed in the U.S. And why were they passed? To prevent newly freed Black citizens from being able to defend themselves against the Ku Klux Klan. And that's the law that they were pointing to try to defend this. Neil Gorsuch was just shocked at it. And he said, this is like vampires embracing garlic. It's the same thing. The gun control advocates are embracing these Black codes to justify this law.
Hans, when you see that case being made and they're like, okay, we got a good one here, we're going to throw this one out there, do you think to yourself, are these people stupid? Do they not understand the offensive nature of what they're trying to do? Like, is it just a lack of intelligence or is it something else?
No, I think it's political. Neither Justice Sotomayor nor Justice Brown Jackson, who you would think would be disturbed by this, they actually didn't seem to have a problem with the state using these Black codes to justify it. Also, by the way, Sotomayor had to be reminded at one point that Hawaii is part of the United States.
What?
Because she was saying, well, shouldn't we just go to local custom and culture? And Hawaii has never had a custom of allowing people to carry concealed weapons, at which point the lawyer for the Hawaiians who sued said, well, excuse me, but Hawaii is part of the United States.
America.
And the Second Amendment applies everywhere.
Man, I'm watching the wrong TV. I'm screwing up here. Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. We know that usually the summer is when these rulings, these decisions start popping. Right. Is it possible that, I mean, can they release them anytime? Like, when do you anticipate we get some of these rulings?
Well, no, June 30th is the deadline for releasing decisions, but they've been releasing decisions, including they released some already in the last 2 weeks. We just never know when they're going to do it. I suspect the tariff decision will come out fairly soon because of the fact that they know there is such a huge amount of money riding on that tariff decision. But other cases, Look, I don't know. You know, the other case they argued this week was Donald Trump attempting to fire Lisa Cook, who was one of the governors on the Federal Reserve. They had arguments on that case also on Wednesday. But again, there's no way of telling when they'll release a decision on it.
Let me, okay, I'm going to ask you, like, this is before you're in Supreme Court 101. This is Supreme Court 100 level, bringing it down to where I am on this issue. When, you know, we can listen to the Supreme Court justices ask the people who are bringing the case or defending or prosecuting the case, whatever. We can listen to those discussions.
Right.
After that happens, do they go, like, a jury get locked in a room and, you know, argue about it amongst themselves? Do they deliberate on their own and then they just make a vote? What's the process once the case has been argued in front of the Supreme Court by the interested parties? What happens next?
Well, they usually, I think, have an internal discussion about the case, and the justices come out and say which way they're going to vote. The Chief Justice then assigns who will write, for example, the majority opinion. And normally, they have a common courtesy, even when they're disagreeing. The dissenters, for example, they circulate their drafts. And that, therefore, often, for example, you'll hear the dissenting opinion talk about what the majority is saying in their opinion. And the majority opinion will often make pointers about the dissenting opinion. That's because they circulate their drafts among all the justices so they can see how the case is going to come out.
Is there an opportunity for Ketanji Brown Jackson to try to persuade Amy Coney Barrett on a particular issue? Do they debate it amongst themselves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they're very congenial, even when they sharply disagree. And they often, I think, will speak to each other, trying to persuade another justice to change the position. You may recall there was a lot of evidence that, for example, when they were debating the decision on Obamacare and whether or not that was within the power of the federal government, supposedly Chief Justice Roberts first was on the side of saying, no, it's not within the power. And then apparently he was persuaded to change his mind. And that's how we got this 5-4 decision saying Obamacare was okay.
Man, I bet for legal eagles like yourself that the thought of that debate is just as exciting as it gets. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these rulings, of course, released. Do you have any thoughts on any big losses you expect the Trump administration to have to endure? Anything that you think is kind of baked in the cake already?
Well, look, the biggest case still coming up, of course, is the birthright citizenship case. You know, they've accepted that case, and that will have a huge effect, depending on how they come out. It affects the whole immigration issue, all the issues we have with enforcement of our immigration laws right now. And that's just one of a number of really important decisions still up before the Supreme Court.
Well, we are glad to have you at a phone call's distance here to bring us the truth of what's going on, and we hope you'll be back again soon. Hans, thanks for being with us today. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.